Ladies and gentlemen, what you heard today, what you saw today, is a present future. These students represent the best of us, represent a future that is very bright. It is a miracle, I believe, this idea that 7 weeks ago, these students had not seen a musical instrument, nor had they played a musical instrument. And we're just so proud of their accomplishments. And I am particularly proud of our team and all of those that have made this huge accomplishment possible. And before I say anything, I would like to recognize those teachers, educators, and leaders that have made El Sistema Oklahoma possible. If you are here, please stand and be recognized. I will also like to recognize our parents, our families, who have invested in their children, who have taken the opportunity to support them and to lead them in an extraordinary way. These students attend the program 5 days a week. They make music for 2 to 3 hours a day. They are embraced by beauty on a daily basis. And I am very thankful for their parents for giving us the opportunity to best serve the children in this community. My deepest appreciation. I'm very excited about presenting to you today. I have to tell you that one thing you should know about me is that I know lawyers well. I am the proud son of 2 attorneys, and I learned very early on not to argue with them. I grew up in a very loving family, and I am very grateful for my parents and for their example and for inspiring me in so many different ways. So today I would like to share topics that are very dear to my heart. You will hear a bit about my family, about my growing up in between 2 countries. You will hear about my own awakening to the concept of citizenship. I will also share about my deepest passion, which is music and education. You know, I wanted to be a lawyer for a long time. When I was growing up, of course, in a household of 2 attorneys, I got to hear many of the discussions that they had on current events or on cases that they were participating in, activities that they were leading. So the law always fascinated me. Even at a very early age, I found every single opportunity to learn about what my parents were doing on a daily basis. And since I was so fascinated, I quickly learned that the law was a system of rules and guidelines. Laws, whether enacted or embraced, we know that form and shape institutions. The law shapes politics, economics, and society in various ways and serves as a social mediator of relations between people. Surprisingly enough, there are also laws inherent in music, the profession that I ultimately chose as my vocation. Yes, as elusive as art might seem to be, there are laws and there are rules and there are guidelines. If you look at music carefully and analyze it, you will find that harmony and melody are guided by the same universal truths and systems that shape a Pythagorean theorem or a mathematical ratio or even gravity. So music, in so many ways, is among us, and it is such a powerful force. That's something that I am very passionate about. Now let's go back. I said I wanted to be a lawyer. So I took every opportunity I could to, you know, try to get to speak in front of people, and I was always trying to state my case. Stubborn little kid. Sometimes I won, sometimes I didn't win. I remember when I was going to high school in Texas through the accelerated Christian education system of education that I even entered an oral arguments competition. And when I was a junior in high school, I was took me to the University of Virginia to a mock Supreme Court hearing on the constitutionality of homeschooling. So I prepared my case. I pointing out that choice and competition in education were fundamental constitutional freedoms. And it was an opportunity to explore education from many angles, but most importantly, it was an opportunity to learn to discern the value of listening to different points of view. I'm very thankful for my parents for the opportunity that they gave me to see them in action growing up. My father was president of the Lions Club when I was about 8 years old. And I will never forget the time that he and my mother took me to the mobile eye clinics. If you're familiar with the Lions Club organization, you know that in 1925, Helen Keller addressed the Lions International Convention and asked for the Lions to serve a very particular mission, and that was to bring better opportunities for those in need, for those who needed to see, to those that didn't have the money to afford eyeglasses or clinics or consultations. I was a part of that growing up, and it was such a beautiful experience. And I'm telling you this because, in many ways, this is the reason that I am here. This is the very reason that I am here. It taught me that social justice meant bringing joy and happiness to others. I was there in front of the grandmother or the uncle, or the little boy who was putting on his glasses for the first time and could see more clearly and could see farther away. And then seeing the smiles on their face. Social justice. I think the law profession, those that are in the law, are deeply connected and can and should be deeply connected with issues inherent to social justice. So I'm very glad and I'm very thankful for the opportunity. It was a coming of age experience very, very early on, and one that in many ways led me to pursue music as a vocation rather than as an occupation. Because I know that music can provide the same happiness. That music is this kind of gift that gives young people the opportunity to look farther, see clearer, and dare to aspire. Now, it's interesting about the law because there are so many laws inherent in music. And we talked about the Pythagorean theory, the laws of harmony and counterpoint. You experience a lot of these things. You experience the harmony pitched against the melody in a counterpoint and a point against point. You felt the contour of movement of melody and how cadences gravitated towards a resolution. Mi, re, do, 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 re, re, mi, re, do. It's very clear. It's very clear. So, I'd like to ask the question, if law and music converge, then we might explore this idea of aesthetics and ethics to be equally compatible. And I want to spend some time relating the experience of music to the building of ethical values in young people. So today I will talk about music and the concept of an orchestra and what it can teach us in terms of building ethics, integration, solidarity, compassion, and beauty, and about the urgent need for us to rethink education in our times, and how we can best create systems that embrace and support the potential of a new blossoming youth that can aspire towards the extraordinary. There is so much that our students can learn from the experience of the orchestra. If we go to the original meaning of the word in the Greek, orchestrai means the place to dance. Orchestra is simply that, the dancing place. So immediately it creates the connotation of joy, of happiness, of a celebration. I told the students today that after their performance they should celebrate, because celebration is a gift. And the way that you recognize them today, how you embrace them, that moment will become as indelible and will remain in their conscience for the rest of their lives. They might share that story 20 years from now, the same way that I'm doing today. So, first of all, the orchestra is a place of joy, by definition. But it is also a community. José Antonio Abreu, one of the greatest minds and philosophers of our time, the founder of El Sistema in Venezuela, calls the orchestra the only institution that comes together for the sole purpose of agreeing with itself. Now, notice Maestro Abreu did not call it a performance body or an entity or an ensemble. He calls it an institution, and to me that's remarkable. It's remarkable. The only institution that comes together with the sole purpose of agreeing with itself. It is a perfect medium to explore the concept of axiological ethics. In other words, the motives or truths towards an end value. Now, I ask the question, what is the end value? What is the end value of all of this here? Well, ladies and gentlemen, is the experience of beauty. The experience of beauty. Playing within the proportions of such space allow all who take part in the orchestra to understand what teamwork really means. What it means to listen to each other. What it means and how to be solidarious to the cause of music. Beauty, solidarity, integration. Students representing their city, representing 6 different public schools, their families, their teachers, their dreams, and coming together for the first time to do something that is extraordinary. There is a very strong case for music and orchestras. Scholars at Cambridge University recently uncovered that the simple act of playing together in a musical ensemble enhances empathy development. If you can play in harmony, if you can play in harmony as part of an orchestra, I believe that you can also live in harmony. So the learning opportunities are vast, are enormous. to be able to learn how to play together, to intimately coexist in music and through music, will allow these young students to realize that harmony in life is possible. The journal Frontiers in Psychology uncovered that singers' hearts in a choir may even beat as one. How many of you have participated in a choir? A lot of you in this room. And do you feel that there's a sense of solidarity and a special sense of bonding in the experience? It is a very powerful emotion. Even to the point that scholars have realized that and uncovered that singers' hearts in a choir may beat as one. This reminds me of the Latin inscription, E pluribus unum, from many we are one. That's the goal of our forefathers. And I believe that's the goal of ethics. And as practitioners of aesthetics, we can bring those ideals into a higher plane. And lastly, about the orchestra, the interdependence of voices. We practiced this today. You were able to experience it. You had a part. It was a part that was unique to you. In other words, you were able to blend your sound. You were able to blend your idea with your articulation, with your own way, with your own texture, with your own accent, with your own way and of feeling the music. You were able to blend in into one voice with that of the others, and at the same time producing a feeling of integration among yourselves and among the performing ensemble. There is no better tool for integration than music. Music is universal. There's no better tool for integration than music. It is universal. I'm very passionate about orchestras, as I am about music and education. I truly believe that an orchestra can change the world, that it can do extraordinary things for young people, for all people, for those who take part in the orchestra and for those who experience orchestral performances. What do we need today? What do we need to support a new blossoming youth that will be able to accomplish extraordinary things? There is great discussion on education reform, issues of social justice. How do we go about producing the best educational system? How do we go about lifting up our young people? How do we do it? There's an urgency. Now, education does not begin at the policy level. It begins at the ground level. It begins at the heart of our communities and inside the core of our innermost and most urgent needs and aspirations. Is there a recipe for success? Is there a way to build such a space, such a system? Is there hope? I believe there is. I truly believe there is. And what do we need? We need teachers. We need teachers who are passionate about their art. We need teachers that are passionate about social justice. I recently came across the work of American theologian Frederick Buchner. And he spoke of a concept that impressed me greatly. He defined vocations in general. He defined the true authentic vocations as mission and intersection. He defined vocations as realizations of mission as intersection. Or in other words, the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Mission as intersection, or the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. I teach a class at Oklahoma City University on social action through music, on the idea of social innovation through music. And the first thing I've asked my students is that to take a look at the idea that most musicians, most educators are good at providing a service. But we should really ask ourselves, what does it mean to be of service? And I think Buechner is right on the mark as he inspires us to realize our own professions, our own vocations, as the place where our deepest gladness meets and the world's deepest hunger resides. If there is one thought, one takeaway for today, please take this one. It's so important. We need students. We need students who recognize that in today's highly globalized and competitive world, the most important ideal to hold on to is perseverance. We live in a world of instant gratification. We want things fast and in a hurry. We don't allow us to take the timing, the right timing to experience the process of aspiring towards something. So we need students who understand that. We need students who understand the idea of perseverance. I have a student at the program who started missing class. So a week passed. Of course, we called him every day. He didn't show up. A week passed, and I asked his mother and our student to come in, and we had a wonderful conference, and we got to the bottom of things. He was having a hard time at school. Homework was taking a big stress in his life. He wanted to quit. And then he told me, you know, I really care about school. I really care about making good grades because, you know what? I want to go to Harvard University. Wow. A 9-year-old student in the Oklahoma City Public School District wants to go to Harvard University. I said, do you know that 42% of undergraduates who are accepted at Harvard and who were accepted this year have done extraordinary things in music? I didn't know. I had no idea. I explained to him that in this highly globalized and competitive world, you had to do more. You couldn't just do well in school. You couldn't just do your homework. You couldn't just do. You had to go well above and beyond. I said, if you stay with music, you will, and you achieve extraordinary things, you will show that committee that you are something else. You call me tomorrow and let me know whether you will continue in the program. He called me the same day. I'm coming back. We need families. We need families who, in spite of having to work extra hours to make ends meet, can still dedicate time to their children. We have a parent that is in the program that is going through nursing school. And you know the children finish up at 8 o'clock. And there's very little time to do homework or do things together. But a parent my age, you know, with a child to 7 years old, 8 years old, is going to nursing school, has just started nursing school because she's so inspired by what her son is doing. And now they're doing homework together. That's social change. There's an example of a project grounded on Howard Gardner's Good Work Framework, Gardner, a professor of education at Harvard, where research has proven that even the simplest activities, as sharing a family meal together, a daily family meal together, can produce physical, mental, and emotional benefits in students. We need families. We need families who, in spite of their hard work and dedication, can also go the extra mile if we want to truly build an educational system that works. We need public and private institutions who are willing to take risks and seek the most daring of collaborations. Institutions who are willing to come together in missional alignment to pursue a common cause. In other words, collaborating across boundaries. I can tell you the example of St. Luke's UMC. St. Luke's UMC is a church with a mission to bring hope to the world. But they realize that that mission doesn't live within the confines of a single space. That it also lives in the Studio 222 program, where they give art lessons to underprivileged children from Taft Middle School. And that hope to the world also lives in the food that volunteers prepare to them so they can excel academically day in and day out. So this is an organization that is going the extra mile, who is collaborating across boundaries. We need community leaders who are willing to invest in the future of their own city's well-being. We need people that grew up in their communities, that live in their communities, to leave a mark, to invest in their city's well-being. We know that a government cannot do it alone. Nor should it attempt to solve every single problem. One example is the Foundation for Oklahoma City Public Schools, with a mission that seeks to bridge the gap of what Oklahoma City Public Schools can provide and what students and teachers need to be successful. There's a wonderful program called the Teacher's Warehouse that gives free supplies to teachers so they can in turn work with their students best. There are people participating and donating and giving their time and their resources and their energies. Community leaders who are willing to invest in worthy causes. And finally, and most importantly, a society that is ready to be patient and confident in knowing that if they look towards the horizon or the infinite, that change that we long for will come. 7 weeks ago, the students that you heard today had not held a violin or a viola or a cello in their hands. I believe that what you heard today is a miracle. And I also believe that miracles are possible when we come to trust in others. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your inspiring words and the presentation by these wonderful students. One group who I've not introduced this morning is the Oakland Bar Association leadership class, who are sitting at tables there. Would you all stand, please? These are our future leaders, by the way. I want to say thank you for coming. Justice Gertz, thank you so much for your help. Phil and, of course, Jose Luis, thank you very much. The General Assembly will begin at 9 o'clock, right around the corner. So I think at this time, unless there's any announcements, anybody? Okay, if not, thank you again.